But Keith had it.
All right.
That's what you got, brother.
God bless you.
Bless you, brother. It is still good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I tell you, it's an amazing thing. Well, Brother Lonnie, just in a few minutes, he talked about, you know, I had my goatee and I need to probably shave that. But we go back a long way. And my kids, they mess around with me because of my glasses and stuff. And so I actually took my little thing off that I keep my glasses on with so that I wouldn't look as foolish. And then I went back in a prayer room and a brother said, I thought they did away with Brill cream years ago. Amen. But anyway, it's good to be here. Amen. I pray that God will, and I didn't mean nothing by that. I'm not offended, okay, by none of that. So, but while we're talking about appearance, come on up here, Brother Wyatt. I'm going to tell you how God works, all right? He and I did not get together at all about our shirts and our ties this morning, okay? But not only did God do that without us knowing, He put these messages together.
Amen.
So I appreciate it, Brother Wyatt. You know what? That passage of Scripture there, it's amazing. And I'm fixing to preach on David, just kind of the next chapter there, or the next part in his life. But it encourages me, something about David. We all love the David that defeated Goliath when he was younger. We love the David that they said, you know, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And we love that David that danced before the Lord there when he brought the Ark of the Covenant back in. But I have grown to love the David even more and respect the David more, that when he failed, how he just kept on going, keeping his faith in God. It was almost like an Old Testament Ephesians 6 of the shield of faith that you use going forward and you never turn around because you'll be exposed. And even though, if you could imagine the guilt of his own baby dying, knowing that it was because of his own sin. Yet not once did he go to another Lord or another God or a false God. We know there's only one true and living God. Not one time did he do that. He remained a man after God's own heart. Even when he failed, he got back up and he kept going toward the Lord. There was a fourfold judgment there. That Nathan said, you've judged yourself out of your own mouth. And so the baby dies, there's one. And then, Amnon rapes his half-sister Tamar. And so Absalom kills Amnon, his brother. And then Absalom later dies with his hair caught in an oak thicket there by Joab and the darts. And the remaining 10 men that were there finished him off. And then, one of David's sons there in 1 Kings, Adonijah, was killed by Solomon, or Solomon had Adonijah killed because Adonijah tried to usurp authority of the throne that was ordained for Solomon. Could you imagine all this happening? Yet David still kept his faith. It's a shield of faith. It's not a shield of performance. It's not a shield of self-righteousness. It is a shield of faith. And I want to tell you this, that when we keep going forward in faith in what the Lord can do and not turn around to deeper sin and not turn around to the ways of the world, God can do some amazing things even at that point in your life. Because the Bible teaches us that Solomon was born right after that story there. That's where you left out. And the Bible says, and the Lord loved him. Amen. And so God had prepared the king through all of that. For we know that God works all things together for the good to them that love him, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Later on, David sinned when he numbered the people there in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. I'm not going there. Just stay with me. And he numbered the people. He took a census of the people out of pride when he wasn't supposed to do so. And you know what? This time he had to make a sacrifice. And the Bible said when he did that, that the Lord answered him there at that location by fire. And David knew, and even though 70,000 people died there because of David's sin, first it was this baby, and then three other of his sons.
sons. And then later on in his life, 70,000 are dead because of David's sin. I wonder how many of us could keep on going. Are you hearing me? How many of us could keep on going? But David always knew who to worship, and God heard him by fire. And David knew that this was the new location of worship. And so he bought that 8 acres. There he gave Arana the down payment and gave him the rest later. That's why there's two different amounts there in the different accounts in 2 Samuel and then 1 Chronicles chapter 21. But you know what that site became? It became the temple site. Solomon and David's first fall, and then David's second sin, then the temple. Oh, but it was not just a story of we reap what we sow. It's all of that. Yes, it is. And the things that sin causes. But it's more of the sovereignty of God and the grace of God. Because how many people went to that temple years and years and received mercy and grace in that place, foreshadowing Christ to come and to sit on that throne? Amen. All right, let's all stand. I know you don't know me that well. But I'm just telling you what. God is a good God. Psalm 40. Psalm 40 this morning. Now, David's in a pit here. It could be from the very story that Brother Wyatt just preached about. It may be another time in his life. I'm not sure. Now, listen, I know you don't know me. And I want to tell you something because I know you don't know me. I do not believe, nor am I preaching this morning, that we should expect to practice a sinful lifestyle and God to just keep blessing our lives. That's not what I believe, nor is that what I preach. There's a difference between a fall and falling away from God. And the Bible says in Proverbs that a just man falleth down 7 times and rises back up again. Amen. God knows your heart. He knows who your master is. And so we come to this place in Psalm 40, very familiar passage of Scripture. David says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. The brother let us know that even as a Christian, we can get into a pit. I want to preach on how can I get out of this pit. Let's pray. God, we come before you. God, we thank you, Lord, for who you are. God, I wait on you this morning. And I pray, God, that you would use us. God, too many times it's been too much of me and not enough of you. So God, I pray today, as the brother said, let us get out of the way. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would do the things, God, that only you can do. And God, we'll be careful to praise you. And God, we ask these things this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Now, there are different kinds of pits that we can be in. Job was in a pit of mysterious despair. Hadn't done anything wrong. Kind of like, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But notice Jesus, how he prefaced why with, you're still my God. You're my God. May our cries and may our questions always be a faith cry and never turn into a bitter cry against God. Job was in a mysterious pit that hadn't done anything wrong to get there. Joseph was in a pit of family persecution as his brothers sold him there into slavery. And then false accusation in Potiphar's house. I'm telling you what today, as the brother already said, the church is definitely under attack. Amen. But I'm glad God is still greater. Moses and Israel, they were in Satan's slavery in Egypt, national slavery. That can happen here. The three Hebrews were in that fiery furnace out of a community persecution. Daniel, out of a co-worker persecution, was in the den of lions. And here we find David, and he is in a pit of sin, no doubt. And look up here, because of this pit, David is in depression. He is physically sick. He is very weak, and even at the point of dying, he's been rejected by family and friends, spouse and lover, and yet he still is going to wait on his God to hopefully pull him out. And so I want to go ahead and get into it. Let's look first of all at the pitfall of David. The pitfall of David in Psalm 40 verse 2. David makes mention that he has been in an horrible pit, the miry clay. Now just about 3.5-4 weeks ago, for the first time that I recall, I read Psalm 38, 39, and 40 together. And it really sheds light on what's going on in David's life. Not sure if it was the same time period and that Brother Wyatt preached about. It could have been. I'm not sure. But the Bible does teach us very clearly that in this point in David's life, that's right, this man after God's own heart, he has been transmitted, a sexually transmitted disease. And he has venereal disease. That is clear because you go back to Psalm 38 and in verse 5, he says, "My wounds stink and are corrupt." What does the Bible teach us about that? I'll get to it in a minute. But he says, "My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness." Verse 7, "For my loins," we know that's the private part of the man that holds his children, his seed. "For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh." Verse 11, "My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand far off." Now, we need to see in the Word of God there's three types of judgment: past, present, and future. In John chapter 12, we see the past judgment. John 12, 31 through 33. "Now is the judgment of this world. Now is the prince of this world cast out. And now, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." This he said, spake, signifying what death he should die. And for the child of God, our sins were judged in the past. Thank God, when we stand before God, the child of God will not be judged by their sins, only by their motives for service in the other parts in the New Testament there. So there's the past sin, the past judgment. Now the present judgment, Galatians 6, 7, 8, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." He said, "My wounds stink and are corrupt. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And in the future judgment, in Hebrews 9, 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." It is the second, the present judgment referred to here in this passage. It's very clear that David is aware that God has judged him in his body for his sin. For he says, "O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There's no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin." He says in Psalm 39, verse 9 and 10, or verse 10 and 11 rather, he said, "Remove thy stroke away from me." And the picture is just like when a man will punch and knock out another man. "Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth." You ever killed a moth before? I mean, they just bore, where'd it go, you know? David here is saying, guess what? I'm not the red-headed, ruddy, good-looking king right now. I'm sick. He has sinned against God. God has given him his present judgment in his body. I'm telling you what, this is a bad pit. Talking about the pitfall of David. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 says, "Flee fornication. For every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his on body. Numbers 32, 23. Be sure your sin will hide you out. David is at his lowest point in his life because of his sin. He's very sick. He's weak. Chapter 38, 3, there was no soundness in his flesh. 38, 8, he's feeble and sore broken. 38, 10, my strength faileth me. The light of mine eyes is gone from me. 39, 11, his beauty is consumed away like a moth. And then he says he's at the point of death because he says, oh, spare me that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. He realizes the vanity of life and says, man at his best state is vanity. Wow. He's lonely. Nobody wants to be around him. He's depressed. Chapter 38, verse 6, I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. He mentions his tears in chapter 39. Verse 12. And guess what? Yeah, he failed, but his enemies wanted to capitalize on that and add to the story and lie about him and say more than what had happened. He's ridiculed. He's slandered. He's dishonored. Chapter 38, verse 12 and 16 says, they also that seek after my life lay snares for me. They that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all the day long. And he recognizes that he slips. He has slipped and he's fallen backward. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. David went from honor to dishonor, from being respected to disrespected, from glory to shame, from healthiness and to sickness, and from being joyful to mourning. He is stressed out to the max. The Bible says that he confessed in chapter 38, verse 3, there's no rest in my bones. And that he spoke of in chapter 38, verse 8, the disquietness of his heart. His heart was not quiet. His heart was not at rest. He was plagued with anxiety. I want you to see, this has not happened to somebody that never came to the Lord. This is not happening to somebody who cussed God most of the days of their life. We're talking about David. Now listen, thank you for your patience to let me kind of show you where David is at this point in his life. And it is under this background that he speaks of this pit that he is in. When the Bible says, I was in an horrible pit, the miry clay, do you know what it's talking about? It's talking about an old water reservoir. We hold water mostly, a lot of times above, you see the towers, such and such town, water towers. But what they would do is they would dig a hole in the ground, and it was narrow at the mouth, and it got wider as it got deeper. Like school's fixing to start back up, and the cones that they set down to keep everybody in their right lanes. The mouth is small, but as it gets deeper, it gets wider. Now, they use that as a water reservoir, but in the dry season, there's no water there, and it's just muck and mire. All right? Which they used to cast people in, like Joseph's brothers cast him in a pit. And the Bible tells us in that passage of Scripture, because it wasn't the time of year for it to be filled up with water, and in Genesis 37, 24, they took him, cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And then the Bible tells us in the book of Jeremiah that they also use these at this time of year for like a prison. They cast Jeremiah into one. The Bible says they let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Now look up here. This is the idea. When you're in a pit like this, how are you going to get out? Can you get a hold of the walls? If you could you climb backwards? No. I remember sharing this principle with somebody at work when I used to work in a car dealership. Manager came by and we weren't even addressing him, but he got under conviction. And he said, I would dig my way out. I would find my way out. No, he can't. The only way out of that pit is if you to cry out for somebody to have mercy, for them to reach down a cord and to pull you out. Amen? Y'all remember, I think it was in 1986 or 87, October the 16th, Jessica McClure, called Baby Jessica, down in Midland, Texas, 3 months old, fell into a well. That's just like saying that baby could have got herself out of that well. The rescue worker had to come. And 3 days later, they rescued her. Listen, God, David knows there's hope. He knows there's hope because he says in the last part of chapter 39 there, he said, hold not thy peace and my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner as all my fathers were. So he knows that he's still a child of God and he's not going to cry somewhere else. So we look quickly there at the pitfall of David. Now let's look at the patient call of David to God. The pitfall and then the patient call of David to God. He said here in Psalm 40 verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. And this is what happened. Whether you've gotten yourself into this pit or whether you're in that pit like Job was for nothing you had done wrong. But listen here, if you're in a pit, if it's a pit of depression, rejection, whatever it is, physical pain or a pain, emotional pain because a loved one has hurt you or somebody has done something you can't believe this has happened in your life, whatever it is, you cannot allow yourself to get discouraged and fail to be patient and go elsewhere for comfort. That's just like you trying to get yourself out of that pit. No one can get you out but one, and you cannot get yourself out. Too many people who are in a deep pit try to escape deeper into the mire of sin or grab hold of lies to comfort them. David did not do either one in this Psalm 38, 39, and 40. Number one, David was honest about his sin. This has to do with a patient call to God if you find yourself in a pit. He simply says in chapter 38, verse 3, I'm in this mess because of my sin. Amen. We've got to be honest. Thought about the governor that visited a large prison years ago. He had a secret plan to pardon a particular a prisoner, but would not reveal the conditions. He would visit one and he said, what are you doing in here? Oh, I tell you what, I haven't done anything wrong. They lied about me and the judge didn't like me. And on down the line, he told this, and several of them said the same thing. They didn't deserve to be there. They had been done wrongly. But finally, he came to one prisoner and the prisoner said, I deserve to be hanged. I am wicked and I deserve to be here. It's mercy that they've given me that I'm still alive. And he said, isn't it a shame that you should continue to be here with all these other innocent people? And so the governor pardoned that man. It's the same way with God, amen? When we're humble and honest, God will pardon us. So David, he was honest about his sin. Number two, he refused to continue in sin. Now look here. He repented, even though he did not get a quick answer. I want you to see in this passage of Scripture, though David has fallen and he has sunk way deep into the mire, he still has his heart right at this point and he's not going to continue in sin because he sees where sin has brought him. The Bible says in Psalm 38, verse 17, and in verse 18, he says, for I'm ready to halt and my sorrow is continually before me. I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. Chapter 39, verse 1, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. So he says, you know what? Nothing's happening yet. I'm still in this pit. One thing I'm going to do is I'm going to be honest with God. And number two, I am not going to try to go deeper into sin to try to comfort myself in this pit. That'd be the worst thing that I could ever do. And so he's repentant of heart. Amen. I mentioned that a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. That is different
Then 2 Thessalonians 2:3, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. There's a difference between a fall and then falling away from God. David fell, but he did not because he kept his faith in the Lord. He did not fall away from God. David refused also to turn to a false God, and he would trust in the Lord only. Psalm 38 verse 15, for in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord, my God. Psalm 38 verse 21 and 22, forsake me not, O Lord, O my God. Be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. And then after the Lord pulls him out in Psalm 40 verse 4, he says, blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Let me tell you what the devil's going to offer some people when they're in that pit. He's going to offer them a lie to grab a hold of. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Do you know what? If you don't repent while you're in that pit, the devil's going to come by and he's going to say, you know what? You can mix Christianity with something else. I got some in my close family right now that they're practicing yoga and they're meditating. And they'll even say, I'm talking about in my own household, they'll even say that they can find peace in their body as they meditate, and peace in their within themselves. And listen here, they know better than that. Peace with God is not going to be found within ourselves alone. It's going to be found without, only in the Lord Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. Amen. But if you're not careful and you allow yourself to get away from God, the devil will offer a imitation comfort to you, a false comfort to you, a lie, and just make sure that it matches up with the Word of God. Amen. David said, I am so low. I am low in this pit. But I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be repentant. I'm not going to continue living in sin. I'm going to trust God, and I'm not going to grab a hold of a lie. Amen. And then the other thing he did was he shut his mouth before men and opened it up before God. Amen. That's what he did. He knew he was guilty. And so the Bible tells us that he says there, Psalm 39, I will keep my tongue with a bridle while the wicked is before me. You can go and read more on that in your own time. That's another thing that'll help you get out of the pit. Shut your mouth before people and just open it before God. So we see, by the way, the soothsayers of the Old Testament are still around today. They will counsel you and they will soothe you in your sin. Yeah, it's okay to go ahead and divorce him. Yeah, it's okay to go ahead and divorce her. Yeah, it's okay to go ahead and have an adulterous affair. Or yeah, listen, it's okay to do this. Or it's okay to do that. Listen here, there are those counselors that will soothe, but it is not the real peace of God. Amen. So we see the pitfall of David and the patient call of David. And then thirdly, we see the powerful haul of David from the Lord. The Lord hauls him out of there. Amen. He said, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Listen, don't quit. If you're in a pit, amen, keep praying until the answer comes. Because thank God, the Lord finally inclined to David. He wanted him to learn his lesson where he was. And he heard David's cry. Then he said, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. Thank God. Let me just focus there on the part, the first half of that. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. You know what? God finally brought Job out of his pit of a mysterious despair. He hadn't done anything wrong to be in that pit, but God eventually brought him out. And then God brought Joseph out of the pit and out of a prison. He wound up in the palace. Brought Moses and Israel out of Satan's slavery in Egypt. Brought the three Hebrews out and Daniel out. And even here, the Lord brings David out of the pit of a fallen state of sin and reproach in his life. Thank God.
I'm glad he has the power to do that. Amen. Who is this he in the Bible? He brought me up. Well, it's interesting when you keep reading there in Psalm 40, we see some messianic verses right here. He, you know, God's already brought him out and he's just commenting on it afterwards. And he gets to verse 6, 7, and 8. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I don't know what you believe this morning, but I'm telling you what the Bible tells us clearly in the book of Hebrews 10, verse 5 through 7, that is a prophecy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For the Bible says that Jesus is speaking there in Hebrews 10, and he says there, offering and sacrifice thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And then he quotes this scripture here, that you didn't delight in offerings and burnt offerings, but then he says, and lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I want you to know something of the Old Testament. The Old Testament was a credit card system. And listen here, just like when you put something on a credit card, it doesn't pay for the bill, but then the bill comes in the mail, right? Every bullock, every ram, all the blood that was shed was on the credit card system. And they'll thank God Jesus paid the bill and he paid it in full. Amen. Amen. Now you stay with me this morning. He said, in the volume of the book it is written of me. I'm talking about, who is this? Now I know you've been here a while. I'm not going to go over my time. Wake up, wake up, wake up. He brought me up. Who is the He? It's the Lord Jesus. Every time in the Bible when it mentions Jehovah or God, it's usually talking about the Father. When it mentions the Lord, it's usually talking about the second person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen here, we know that the Bible tells us in Galatians 3 that the gospel was preached to Abraham. Amen. I mean, this is the Lord Jesus here. The gospel was preached to Abraham. I believe it happened in Genesis chapter 22. Amen. Don't have time to go there this morning. The gospel was preached to Moses. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so forth. And God preached the gospel to these in Luke 24. Sung the song last night on the road to Emmaus. The Bible teaches us there that Jesus, when they're discussing this, says, fools of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Jesus expounded unto them the things concerning himself, of what? Of his suffering and then of his glory. That would be his death, burial, and of his resurrection. This is the he. But I want you to know something about David. The Bible teaches us in Acts 2, verse 23 through 32, it mentions the preaching that Jesus was crucified, he was raised, and then it says, David speaketh concerning him. Who? The one who was crucified and raised. And then David said this, I saw the Lord always before me. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will I suffer thine holy one to see corruption. And that was talking about Jesus' death, burial, and his resurrection. So look here. The Lord, you say, why'd you give us that little seminar on that? Well, because I'm trying to remind you some things to spark a little bit of faith on who this is and how mighty and powerful he is to pull you out of whatever pit you're in. Amen. God is able. He's able to definitely pull you out of whatever pit that you might be in. The moment that he died, the veil in the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. And then the Bible teaches us that was 15 feet tall. It was 10 cubits at 18 inches a cubit, 15 feet tall. It was the width of a man's hand. It was embroidered. And Jewish tradition says two teams of oxen could not have pulled apart the veil that went into the most holy place of God's presence. Yet the moment Jesus died, it was rent in twain from top to bottom, signifying the only way we're going to get out of our pits is not from bottom to top, but from top to bottom. Thank God he is able to reach down. I thought about the story here. It's a hypothetical story of a man who's sinking in quicksand. And Buddha comes by and he says, "Well, sir, if you'll just meditate, and if you're a good meditator, and you're able to just really be strong mentally and block out the fact that you're sinking in this quicksand, you can reach a state of mind that we call our heaven, nirvana. Just get good at meditating while you're sinking there, buddy." He goes down. And then Muhammad comes by and sees him sinking there and goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I guess this was the will of Allah." And he walks on. Gandhi comes by and says, "Oh, well, you know what? If you were really good in this life, maybe you'll come back not so poor and as a rich man in the next life. If you weren't, you might be a cow in my pasture in your next life." And he walks on. The Christian Scientist came by and said, "You're not really in that pit. You just think that you are." And then he walks on. And then the Roman church leader comes by and he says, "Oh, it's a terrible thing that you're in that pit. Hold on, I've got an extra crucifix with me." And boy, I tell you what, he throws that thing pretty good. It hangs and just like a lasso. There it goes. It's around his neck now, but all it's doing is making him heavier and he's sinking faster. The Baptist preacher comes by and says, "Oh, I tell you what, I'm going to try to get you this card here. And if you'll just sign this card, become a member of our church and say this prayer, you'll be just fine." And he went on down. The man's still sinking in the pit. Joseph Smith and Brigham Young, they come together. And they said, "You know what? Hey, Jesus did a pretty good job, but we preach the restored gospel. God had to raise up Latter-day Saints for us to complete what Jesus didn't finish." And there the man is still sinking in the pit. But I want to let you know something. The Son of God came along the way. Jesus came by and he said, "I didn't need anybody to finish. I finished it." And he came over to the man and he reached down with that nail-scarred hand and he pulled him out. Amen. Listen, whatever pit you're in, Jesus is the one that can pull you out, no doubt. All right, got 5 minutes for the schedule. So I got the last point here. Listen, we see the pitfall of David. And we see the pitfall of David. And then we see the patient call of David to cry out to God while he's in that pit. And then we see, thirdly, we see the hall, the powerful hall that the Lord comes by and pulls him out. But last but not least, it'd been wonderful if that's what the Lord did, just pulled him out of the pit. But most people would think, there's no way that I could ever amount to anything. I've gotten so bad in my life. I failed so badly. Could I ever amount to anything? Listen, we see the prodigal tall again. He's able to stand tall again after all this. Not because of David, but because of his Lord. The Bible says, after he brought me up, he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He had to reestablish David, restabilize David, and he did. And then the Bible says that he even put joy in his heart. And he had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and shall fear and shall trust in the Lord. So God's going to use him again too. Amen. And isn't it amazing? Listen, church, I'm just preaching Bible to you. If I'm not, let me know after the service. But look here. After what Brother Wyatt preached, and after this deep pit that David sank into, even had venereal disease, because who his God continued to be. Because he never lost hope. Listen, Peter failed, but his faith didn't fail. Right. He denied that he even knew the Lord after he was following him. But Jesus said in Luke 22, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. He knew that he was going to fail him. But many times we better be careful to preach a gospel that says if we fail, we're out. Amen? You don't let your faith fail. This is the same David, Brother Lonnie, that when the Canaanite woman who was a Gentile and Jesus was about preaching first to the house of Israel, she cried, Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Barnabas cried out, and could hear him coming, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And there in the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, they sang praises to the Lord Jesus. And the Bible teaches us there in Mark, I don't have my glasses, I lost them. Hosanna to the Son of David. Even when he was born, after all of David's pit experiences, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Luke 2:11 says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David. Wow. Do you know what? When you come to the end of David's life, by God's mercy and grace, he did not demote him off of the throne. He had to do it with Saul. He demoted Saul from his position. But he didn't with David. David didn't let his wives turn his heart away from God to the point where he started worshiping other gods and putting idols up in Israel. And for whatever reason, God is God. God didn't demote him off the throne. And he was able to die in grace and in honor. That's the kind of God that we serve. Amen. You can stand again. Now, I have a dog. My dog's name is Camo. I'm closing. I'm not even going back up to the notes. I have a dog named Camo. And years ago, long story short, I accidentally run over him. I was driving a truck that was higher off the ground. I couldn't see him. You know, he was a fast dog, and he'd always, I thought, boy, he's going to dart out of there. But one of these days, he didn't dart out of there like he should. And I run over him. My next door neighbor said, man, you got to shoot him. I hope there's not no animal activists here or whatever. Said, and I love this dog so much, I decided not to. I didn't have the money for a vet. But we were able to make an arrangement with the veterinarian. And $2,000 later, so many months payments, I finally got him paid off. But you know what? The vet said, I don't know if I can save him, but I can try. And I said, you know what? He's worth it to me to save. Just go ahead and try it. He did the surgery. I mean, he had a broken femur and this ball joint was out and all kinds of stuff. But you know what? The doctor fixed him. And he's doing fine now. As a matter of fact, he's running again. Amen. You know what? The devil tells you, you're a sorry dog. And by ourselves, we are outside of the grace of God. Yeah. Amen. But the devil will tell you, you sorry dog, you knew better than that. And you're just worth shooting. Thank God for the great physician and one that loves us. That says, you know what? He's worth saving. Amen. And you know what? The devil will tell you, well, God may be able to forgive you, but you'll never be able to run again in life and enjoy life and have a life. And that is also a lie. Amen. Amen. And I'll tell you, this is the last one. That was an illustration. Here's the last story. It's a true story. I was preaching for Brother Chris Rumfelt many years ago when he's at the Beaver Creek Free Will Baptist Church in Andrews, North Carolina. Had an extra close week with God. Boy, I love those times, cherish those times. I could hear God extra clear. You know what I'm talking about? Say amen. Amen. Boy, there wasn't very many amens on that. I'm talking about, do you ever get to the point where God's gracie and He allows you to get so close to Him that you can hear Him when He whispers? Say amen.
Amen.
Okay. God said, on your way back to Arkansas from North Carolina, make sure you pay attention where you stop. I always tried to let the Lord lead me. I didn't want to be just an evangelist in the pulpit and not be a soul winner outside, you know. Because God made me a soul winner before He ever made me a preaching evangelist. And so He said, son, make sure you pay attention. It's very crucial where you stop today. I had a 12-hour drive. I was 2 hours down the road. I was in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you need to get off. Man, I tell you what, I wasn't hungry. I need to get home. My wife was about to give birth to our fourth of six children. And I needed to get home. And the OB doctor said, I don't think he's going to make it. But the Lord said, it's time. So I stopped. Got something to eat. Wasn't even hungry. I had 3/4 of a tank. Didn't even need to fill up. But I thought, I'm already stopped. I might as well. And when I was at that Exxon gas station in Chattanooga, Tennessee, I accidentally locked my keys and my cell phone in the car. I was delayed there for an hour and a half, seeking the Lord, who it is I'm supposed to talk to. Didn't have any direction. A man came up to me, introduced himself. He said, brother. Sounded like there was something behind it more than him just saying, brother. I thought, well, this guy's already saved. I don't need to talk to him. Then the locksmith showed up. I said, man, that's him. I know it. This has all happened. Locksmith's lost. Boy, I'm ready to give my testimony. Romans Road, whatever. No leadership. No direction at all. And that man that had earlier tapped me on the shoulder when I was sitting like this on the curb, God brought him to me again. And He said, hey, before you sign those papers and do that with a locksmith, my brother's a locksmith. And he just lives right down the road. And I said, it's okay, man. And the Lord said, Keith, I brought him to you twice. This is him. I said, hold on just a second, sir. God stopped me here for an hour and a half. I've been trying to figure out who it is. And now I know that it's you. And boy, he just started crying. And I went over there, signed that thing. And I went back to him. And I just told him the story. I said, sir, I'm tired. I want to get home. I just be honest with people, even when I'm soul winning. I said, I'm tired. I want to get home. My wife's about to give birth to our fourth child. But God told me it was important that I stop. I'm a preacher. I locked my cell phone and my keys in the car. I never have done that in my life. Still haven't since then. Not going to brag about that. It might happen again. And God just told me to give him restoration verses. So where do I go, Brother Wyatt? Gave him restoration verses of David. Against thee only have I sinned and done this wickedness in thy sight. O Lord, cast me not away from thy presence. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You know what, sir? After all of that, God restored David, and he just cried and he shook his head. I quoted him verse after verse, and he finished quoting most of the verses. He knew he was raised right. Kept on shaking his head. And finally, God said, just tell him one more time. I said, sir, God cares. He does. He cares about me. He cares that I get home to my family. He cares that it'd be great if I could be there when my baby's born. But I want to let you know something. He cared even more, and he cares even more about you right now, that he stopped me and stalled me for an hour and a half because he's not through with you. And listen, at that moment, his spirit broke, faith revived, and you knew without anybody saying it's time to pray, it's time to pray. And we began to pray, and listen, his mourning was turned into laughter. God gave him beauty for ashes. And the joy came into that car right there as he was sitting at the driver's seat. And listen, I never knew this before, but you can give somebody a bear hug with a car door in between you. As we hugged in total strangers, but brothers in the Lord, hugged and rejoiced and was praising God. I'm sure people thought we were nuts. Hang on. He said, preacher,
If you have never felt that you were a minister of reconciliation, it took him a while to say this. He said, you will never know, and he cried, what has been reconciled, and he'd cry, today. And he pulled a gun from underneath his driver's seat. And he said, preacher, I saw where he had a beer there and was depressed. He said, I was getting ready to leave this gas station and go blow my brains out. But I prayed one last prayer this morning. I said, God, if you're not through with me, send somebody my way and let me know that you sent them. I'm telling you what, we serve that kind of God. Amen. Yes, and you know what had happened? His name is Terrell Wilson out of Dadeville, Alabama. I shouldn't have told his name. My goodness. But anyway, he had some bad things happen in his life earlier on when he was a child. And then God called him to preach when he was 10, reconfirmed it when he was 14. And he had bitterness toward God because of his past and would never say yes. And for that, he was miserable and in a deep pit. But I want to let you know, God pulled him out that day, and he became an associate pastor of a church. And God is using Terrell Wilson, because that's the kind of hand that we have available that can pull us out, even if we're backslidden, depressed, and suicidal. Wow. Let's all stand. God, we come before you. Oh, Lord.